The great commandment says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But today's gospel begs the question, but who is my neighbor? Jesus says, the one who shows compassion is your neighbor. But who is my neighbor? Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us we may be surprised. All of us can relate to the characters in today's gospel because their stories could be our own. Today's gospel tells a story of a man who goes out on a limb to help another man in trouble. The man helps without thought of receiving any thanks, but we've been thanking him ever since for his example of love, and we know him affectionately as the Good Samaritan. If asked, which character in today's story is the symbol of Jesus, I'm pretty sure that most of us would say that it is the Good Samaritan, the one that shows compassion. And that's certainly one way to read this parable. However, from another point of view, it's the man lying on the side of the road that can also be seen as the Christ, because it is always the powerless and vulnerable ones who have the power to convert hearts and transform lives. All we have to do is gaze upon the crucified Christ to come to that conclusion. But it's those who suffer in the ditch, so to speak, the homeless, the poor, the alienated. Those are the ones who have the power to move us to compassion and allow us to be fully human. In our gospel story, the Samaritan is the one who is moved with compassion. To have mercy is to have compassion, and to have compassion means to share the same passion, the same suffering, and accepting into our heart the misery of another. Not so much to relieve someone's pain, but to understand it by sharing in it, to make it possible for others to bear their pain in a way that it gives them their dignity. So in choosing to tell this story, Luke is saying the ones who love God are those who live the compassionate life, those who can live in love by not making divisions by race or theology. In the gospel, Jesus chooses someone outside the Jewish system, a Samaritan, to be the true neighbor. It would be like one of us today asking the Lord if Hindus could be saved. In response, Jesus might tell us the following story. One day, a Catholic got attacked by a robber and was left for dead on the side of a road. Then a Catholic priest came by and didn't pick him up. Then a rabbi came along and also ignored the man. Then a Hindu who never set foot in a Catholic church and who lacked any teaching in Catholic teaching, he is the one who shows mercy on him and cares for him. The Hindu is therefore the true neighbor, and we must imitate him. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is saying that the reality of God is bigger than our laws, bigger than our group, and even bigger than our religious institutions. God is bigger because that's God's job. Our job is much more humbler. Our job is to be more human, to be more human than the boundaries that define us and that separate us from one another. There's a contemporary saying that says, We are not human beings trying to become spiritual. We are already spiritual beings trying desperately to become human. In today's gospel, we are like the lawyer who asks, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" But rather than giving the lawyer his answer, Jesus returns the question with a question and asks, "What is written in the law?" And like any good Jewish lawyer, he recites Judaism's most essential prayer, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That prayer is as central to Judaism as the Lord's Prayer is to Christianity. The young lawyer is confident in his answer. However, in his confidence, he risks another question: "And who is my neighbor?" A well-crafted question, because to ask who is my neighbor is also to ask who is not my neighbor. And that's the door Jesus opens with this story that will shatter this man's entire perception of reality. In this familiar story, we often miss the connection between the lawyer's response and who is our neighbor. Jesus would say that in his mind and heart, the lawyer has separated God from his neighbor. Here, the lawyer wants to put limits and boundaries on whom he is to love. But don't we all do that? Aren't we all like the lawyer, born into a world defined by laws, boundaries, borders, nationalism, race, religion, social status, and political party? To live otherwise would be countercultural, exactly the point of the gospel. Because the gospel is tough. The gospel is hard because we are called to overcome our biases and our prejudices, to struggle with our human weaknesses, and to work it out in the world filled with contradictions. And that's why the greatest spiritual masters say that love must precede knowledge. Love must precede knowledge. Because you cannot know things if you do not first love them. Because if you don't first love them, then you will critique them, and then you will judge them, and ultimately, you will crucify them. Our ability to judge and critique is necessary for many good things. We need these things for the practical realities of life, but they don't do well with spiritual realities such as mystery and paradox and love and death. God gives us the gifts of reason and love, but our faith tradition teaches us that we cannot have one without the other. Faith, reason without faith is empty, and faith without reason is blind. And so, who is my neighbor, the lawyer asks. This question is as relevant today as it was 2 millennia ago. Yes, our neighbor is on the side of the road, bleeding in the ditch, as Jesus described in his parable. But in our case today, he is also the person sitting next to us. The lesson in this parable is that in the course of every human endeavor, we must always begin with love. Reason will always be a part of our decisions, but we must always lead with love. If love rather than judgment is our first response, then just reasoning will take care of itself. There is a well-known phrase in our faith tradition that captures well today's teaching. In necessary things, unity. In uncertain things, freedom. And in everything, compassion.